This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we are going over Dash and Lily episode 5 and 6. So, if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you need to join us in the next year or catch up via our podcast or Netflix. Thank you very much.
Hey, gentle listeners.
Are you ready
for one dry kiss?
One from me and one from you. Wait, hold on. Scratch that. Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy irreverent love letter to rom-com movies, rom-com series, and everything in between. I am one half of that podcast sending you one major dry kiss during this holiday season. And I am here with my co-host who has the most luscious lips in the world. I don't know that. I just know that she puts copious amounts of Eos on her.
Okay.
Corinetting.
Thank you, question mark.
Well, you weren't the one that was scraping the dead skin off of their lip before we recorded, so I'm your lips are in better shape than mine.
And my sumptuous lips are saying that Miss Tamara Cosio, my beautiful co-host, will always be the angel on the tree, the highlight of my life.
You're saying that because we got a Christmas tree, didn't we? I mean, a chismas tree.
A chismas tree named
Chauncey.
Yay! Christmas tree!
Yes, we got a chismas tree named Chauncey.
Mm-hmm.
He's glorious.
Yes.
All of my ornaments are on there. None of Corinne's.
She's like, promised. Stand back. Stand back.
No, some of Corinne's are on there.
Oh,
I let her put 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
I'd say it's about a third mine and 2/3 yours.
Yeah. I did have.
Yeah.
It's Chauncey's a little bit on the smaller side.
Yes.
He's big enough, though. He's big. He's just the right size. But
Chauncey is just right. We saw him and we fell in love. It was love at first sight, basically.
It was. Yeah. It was. We did have a conversation because way back in the day, I used to put my Gambit action figure on top of the Christmas tree, Chauncey, Christmas tree, before I got a star. And that was just like my Christmas tree topper. And conversely, Corinne put Gonzo on top of her tree. I stopped putting Gambit when I got the star. She still puts Gonzo up there.
100%.
And so she was trying to maneuver the two of them on top of the Christmas
tree. I was.
And it just looked like a Muppet X-Men orgy going on. It was...
I thought she'd be into it.
I was like, no, it looks like Gonzo is giving Gambit's face some ass.
And I thought that she would enjoy it and the two of them could share the top of the tree, but no.
They were sharing much, much more in the positions you were putting them in, Corinne.
Tamara wasn't down for the creativity of it all.
I tried
Gambit in a few different places, and all of those different places, Tab gave me the look like, Gambit.
That's worse. That's worse than before. Why is he straddling Gonzo? That's not right. Is he pegging him? Is he pegging him now?
Gonzo's reading Bend Over Boyfriend. Oh, but I did integrate Gambit into our Christmas landscape.
Yes. She made a extra Christmas tableau.
Yes.
Right in front of our TV for all the extra ornaments that she didn't get to put on the tree and my really heavy ones. And it looks fabulous. Of course, Gambit is sitting full force in the corner. And I looked over a couple days ago and I was like, what does Gambit have in his hand? Because normally, and I don't have it anymore, the action figure had a staff.
Yes.
And Corinne replaced it with the piece of holly.
Yes.
So he's ready to fight Christmas crime with this holly. It's great.
You have some very large ornaments, like very large ornaments.
Yeah.
And Chauncey is not the biggest tree.
Yes. Nor does he have the sturdiest branches.
So, you know, I thought a Christmas tableau would be a good idea for...
Yes, probably the best way to keep our tree upright. Agree.
Oh, my gosh.
I had high expectations for my Christmas trees in the future. I'm like, I'm going to have an 8-footer that's going to be able to hold this little streamlined trailer that says Merry Christmas on it that's about the size of a Coke can.
It is larger than a Coke can.
Well, I mean, just it is slightly larger.
It's like two Coke cans. Mm-mm. Yes. Mm-mm. Yes.
Agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. We're both looking right at it.
After the podcast, there's going to be some can piling and we will see who's right.
Okay. So our apartment is filled with Christmas wonder.
Yes. And Christmas spirit.
Christmas spirit. We also went to go see the Wicked movie.
Yeah.
That was fun. Spoiler. It's in two parts. We did not know that.
No, we did not.
When it said part one, I'm like, son of a bitch.
When it said part one, I was like, oh, okay. And then in the middle of the movie, we're going to see something that says part two. No. I was wrong.
No, I knew it. I was like, oh, great. Cash grab. Hopefully it's worthwhile. The first part was very good.
Very good.
But a lot of times when the first part's very good, it's because they pack everything in there for you to be interested. And then the second part's like 10 minutes of interest and then an hour and a half of filler.
Okay, but I have a question. Mm-hmm. So I did not cry at all during Wicked. And all the stuff that I was seeing, everybody was crying. Am I a soulless husk of a human being? Did you cry?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think I cried once.
Yeah. No, I mean, there was like some touching moments. There was an emotional spectrum, but I just did not feel the need to cry at all.
No, you're right. I was waiting for it. I'm like, okay, yeah. Corinne said it's a tearjerker and still waiting, still waiting. Nothing's happening. Nope, no tears, nope. No tears. You know what else I was waiting on is for Corinne to come back to her seat because she disappeared with like 40 minutes left in the movie.
Look. I really needed to go to the bathroom. I knew I was going to be sitting there for a while. Here's the thing. I was in the very last seat of the row against a wall. And even though it was Tuesday, the first movie showing,
it was fucking packed.
It was packed in the theater. And it was 11:30 in the morning, okay? So when I was walking out, I was like, person, 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 while this gorgeous movie is going on. And there's not a good time to like move because there's always something happening. And so I just kept on walking and walking and walking in front of more and more and more people. And like part of me was dying inside because usually like when I'm leaving a theater, I usually don't go during like populous times. So it's like, oh, I'm walking in front of like 2 to 3 people, you know, not 15. So I was just like, I cannot bear to walk in front of any more people. So after I went to the bathroom, I went and sat in one of my favorite places to sit in the movie theater, which is the very front because nobody sits there because it's very close to the screen, but I'm okay with it. And the chairs were very comfortable, more comfortable than where we were sitting. And I thought about sending a text and I was like, but I don't take my phone out in the movie theater. Like, who's going to be taking their phone out in a movie theater? I'm not going to send a text.
I'll tell you who. Sylvia and I. Because after about 10 minutes, I was like, holy shit, something happened. She has explosive diarrhea and needs a pair of pants. And she lost her phone on the way to the bathroom. And she's just sitting there poo-bearing it in the restroom, hoping one of us figures it out. Because she can't contact us.
I feel so bad.
So I sent a text saying, are you okay? And then it was just saying, sending, sending, sending. So I was like, shit. And then I looked at Sylvia and I was like, did Corinne text you where she went? She's like, no. So she texted you, are you okay? Still nothing. And then I was like, okay, she's dead. I'm going to get up right now. Wait, something else is happening. Okay, I'm going to get up right now. Oh, wait, 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 wait. The end of Wicked, since you know it's a two-parter, there was like a good half hour where you're like, it's going to end now. No, no. Okay, it's going to end now. No. Okay, it's going to end now. And it didn't end. And I was like, I'm just going to wait it out and hope everything's okay because I'm pretty sure she would text us if something was wrong. And I was right. No, because nothing was wrong. She was just in the front row going, what? You guys missed me? I'm sorry. I just decided to sit someplace else and not tell you for 40 minutes.
The seat was very comfortable.
I'm so glad. You were comfy and enjoying the show while I was full of angst going, Corinne's dead.
Corinne's dead. I won't go and look for her because, oh, look, something else is happening. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. No. It was. Had it happened earlier, maybe. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. I'm like, she's probably fine. There's like a 50-50 chance. But the 50% that thought you were dead was very worried about you. The other 50 was like, this movie's going to end right. Oh, shit. Well, look at that.
And I thought that they were going to hear me because I was cackling and making noise. And like, there was a jump scare and like, nobody jump scared. But I was like, ah! Like yelling. And
you were across the theater. My supersonic senses were going, what's that? No, no. I hear Corinne off in the distance. She is fine. Nee, 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 nee. She's in the front row. Nee, 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 nee. Corner seat. Partially reclined. Okay, we're all good.
Fully reclined. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, now though, like, because this is a new experience for me, if you disappear, I'm going to be like, yeah, she's probably someplace else. It's fine. Just hope you know that.
No, no. Look, look. Now I know if I ever do something like that again, which...
Send your girl a text.
Yes, exactly. That is what I would do.
There was two of us there. And I saw Sylvia wasn't getting up and getting nervous or worried either. That's why I was like, yeah, it's fine. Sylvia's fine.
I completely felt very bad that... y'all were concerned about me.
I don't know if Sylvia was, but I definitely was. Because she's like, I don't know where she's at. And I'm like, okay. And her calmness grounded me.
That happened. So
I'm not even looking at you right now.
Uh-huh. I had to buy her off with food later in the evening to make amends.
I was more okay with it after that, yeah.
Oh, and after Wicked,
uh-huh,
we painted gnome elves.
Yes, we painted wooden gnome elves for Bridget's fairy garden.
And both Tamara's and Sylvia's gnome elves were like, you know, on those TikTok videos where they're like, oh, here's this thing. And it's like, oh, oh, oh. And then they're like, and here's this thing. And it's like, that was like my elf was the one.
Whatever. You know how earlier you said that I look at other people's hair and think it looks fabulous, but look at my own and I'm like, I pick it apart. You did the same thing with your gnome elf. Your gnome elf was fabulous.
I think with some distance, I will look at it later and I will like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was particularly fond of mine because the gnome elves were double-sided but flat. And so on the backside of my gnome elf, I put a little open flap so his bare butt would show through. I hope the people at your church aren't offended.
Oh, I'm sure they will fully enjoy it. And also, I put a surprise behind my elf as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not gnome butt. It was Christmas tree. That was a lot of fun doing that. And Tam did like full-on intricate little shading on the sides of the hat. It practically looked three-dimensional. It was a very good job.
Yeah, and sadly, I was like, not going to be doing arts and crafts anymore because I always pick the most complicated one and then spend 6 hours on it. Everybody was done well before me. And I was like, wait, need to paint a butt on my gnome. I spent 3 hours on the hat.
That hat was glorious.
Thank you. Can't wait to see it in all its glory in the fairy garden. La, 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 la. Bring. La, 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 la. Corinne,
yes,
would you please give us a synopsis for last week's two Dash and Lily episodes?
I don't know. All you said was synopsis, please, and I was a little disappointed.
You know, I was so fucking done with this outline because I'm like, this is so bare bones. I can't even.
Just giving you the heads up, I will be interrupting you some.
Oh, shocking. That never happens.
Anywho, in episode 3 and 4 of Dash and Lily, Lily asks Dash for his favorite Christmas memory and he shares a Christmas trauma instead.
Shits the bed.
Mm-hmm. His parents told him they were getting divorced, just in case you were curious. Which prompts Lily to share her worst Christmas, which involved all of her classmates rejecting her bid for friendship via friendship bracelet gifts and her finding them all dropped in the hallway. To add insult to injury, she sees her crush E talking to some friends and exclaiming, "She's so weird!" Dash decides to push Lily's boundaries and send her on a mission to a Jewish punk show, which, after a consultation from her brother and his boyfriend, she gets dressed in her best blue sparkly slip dress with tassels through the midsection, diagonally running through it, yes, with her red boots. She goes to the show, feels insecure, but after finding a message from Dash written on the mirror to her, she goes back out there and rules the show with her elbow dance TM. That's elbows left, elbows right, elbows all night. Yeah, that's it.
AKA the Corinne.
It's a special, special dance. She is feeling unstoppable until she runs into E, who is now in high school, and exclaims, "You are so weird," which causes her to flee, losing a boot outside. She gets her one-booted self home and finds her grandpa at home and yelling at her, "You're grounded forever," because she was out late at night, like super late. So Lily gives up on the notebook and all is lost until Dash finds her boot. But no notebook, because she ran off. He goes on a search for the other boot, which ultimately leads him to Lily's very glam aunt, Mrs. Basil E. Lily rallies after Mrs. Basil E. sees her, and her recalcitrant grandfather takes her out to Two Boots Pizza to apologize. Lily cuts the line, gives Boomer the notebook, and he probably gets fired from his job as he sprints off to give Dash the notebook, leaving the register unattended, as the quest is time sensitive, and Boomer's a good friend. Dash gets the notebook, heads to Diker Heights, sees the very gaudy Nutcracker house, observes more than just what is on the surface, and finds more nuance to Christmas, which Lily puts a little extra whimsy on by having him stand in front of a different house at 5 p.m. and a believe sign, a la Ted Lasso, lights up in front of him. Everything is perfect, and we've almost made it to the end until Dash gets a text from Sophia, his ex, asking if she can see him this Christmas. And we wonder where Dash is going to go from there. Is this the end of Dash and Lily and the Red Quest book? Is it? Tim, please let us know.
Yes, yes, I will let you know exactly what happens.
Ooh.
It's not. It's over. That was the end. We're just kidding. Okay. We open with Dash. He's explaining to a group of older Asian women as he makes mochi, "My ex-girlfriend's in town and she wants to meet, but I don't know if I should. What do you guys think?" The ladies wordlessly look at him as he asks for this advice and then go back to their own mochi making without comment. We are all full of "what the fuck's exactly going on here?" until Lily's voiceover says, "It's hard, isn't it, when you can't rely on language to give you an answer? Like when you're trying to make mochi in a kitchen full of Japanese grannies." We then figure out that this is another dare challenge concocted to take Dash out of his comfort zone. He pounds the mochi into an angry pancake and calls her a sadist. Then rechecks the notebook, muttering, "Come on, Lily, what are you trying to tell me?" The next line from her reads, "The formation of mochi takes extreme focus. You cannot think your way into doing it." He thinks he's 100% focused until his phone buzzes with multiple texts from Sophia saying, "I know you're in town. Talk to me." After reading them, he attempts a very sad mochi ball, which looks more like a round poop dumpling.
Ooh.
He thinks it's decent until one of the grannies plucks it from his hand and wordlessly deposits it into the trash.
Oh, the shade.
While maintaining eye contact with him, like, "You think this is mochi, bitch? Are you kidding me right now?"
I loved that moment. It was so good.
The notebook and Lily tell him, "Listen to your mochi. I know you have big ideas in your head of how you think things should be, but if you quiet your mind, sometimes that's the best way for an answer to be heard." Dash is not entirely on board with her sentiment, but gives it an honest try. He quiets his mind and forms a perfect ball, which elicits polite clapping from the older ladies around him.
Yay!
He tells her, "You know me well. That was torture. But worth it."
Those pink mochi were so cute.
Mm-hmm. You look cute mochi. We should go try to make mochi balls.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
And then halfway through, Corinne's going to disappear. And then everyone's going to wonder where she went. And then she's going to be like, "Oh, you know what? Mochi wasn't speaking to me, so I had to go make dumplings."
This is why I'm not suitable for other people.
Dumplings in the other room sound better, don't they? They do.
They do. They really do. Then Dash's next journal entry to her says, "Just wait to see what I have in store for you. An artsy pop-up that you're gonna love." Lily is led to a studio called the break room. She thinks she got off easy because crafting is totally her jam. She smiles as the instructor directs, "Do whatever is in your head. Express yourself. Be free." This is some unexpected whimsy, and me and Lily are here for it. She grabs some felt and informs, "Okay, so..."
Don't. I don't fucking know why this series hates my guts. I know what Corinne's going to say, because when I type this out, every single time I tried to type dash, it typed D-A-D-H, daddy.
Okay, but here's why I mention it right now. Once I figured it out, I auto-corrected it. But I was like, is that the instructor's name? I don't remember it being I don't remember the instructor having a name. And I was like, I went back and I watched the beginning. I was like, did I miss him introducing himself?
No.
How do you pronounce that? I like literally was thinking, oh, so how do you pronounce D-A-H-G?
Daddy. The instructor, daddy. No,
and then I figured it out.
I took typing for a semester in college, but for some reason, my fingers wanted to turn that S into a D almost every single time I typed dash. Last time I was doing voice to text or text to type, and it was just making Dash's name a literal dash. And this time it just wanted to misspell it every fucking time, which is why I was like so done with this outline when it was over.
Well, you know, the nice thing about the literal dash part is you can just put in a find and replace and type in dash for a dash and it'll automatically replace that.
You would think I would think of that ahead of time. No. I just cursed at my tablet a bunch and was like, what is wrong with you? The fuck? When I say dash, you spell D-A-S-H.
Dash. D-A-S-H. Dash. I genuinely thought it was the instructor's name and I didn't know how to pronounce it. And so I was like searching for the part where he said that his name was Dada.
Oh, that gives me so much joy.
We don't ever know the instructor's name, just FYI, in case you're curious. But Lily informs Dash, "I thought you were going to give me something challenging, but clearly you misread me. At the end of the art session, people hold up their pieces and explain their meaning. One guy made a tower of Coke cans about the size of the little trailer that's on..." No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It was much taller than that. It was over a foot high. And tells the group, "This stack of cans represents how corporatized reality television ideology is and how it has a steel grip on the American throat." Next, Lily holds up the angry puppet she made and shares, "I made a Muppet. It's what I think a friend of mine looks like in real life." The instructor cocks his head and tells her after assessing, "He looks rude." Lily takes a second look and wants to give herself a high five on so easily completing her challenge until the instructor announces, "Okay, now that you have created, it's time to destroy. It's time to free your mind of the corporeal baggage you've materialized here." She asks the instructor, "What's going on?" And he points to the break room sign. Lily is confused and says, "I thought that just meant we all take a fun craft break as a group." The instructor corrects her. "No, break room, as in you literally break shit to feel better." She rushes over to the notebook to find Dash's written, "You told me when it rains, you look for the rainbow. But what if there isn't one? Sometimes you have to stand in the rain and scream. So go ahead and get all those un-Lily feelings out." She looks behind a safety glass partition to see all of her fellow craft-making mates beating the shit out of their creations with hammers and bats. While Dash encourages her, "Go ahead, break something. I guarantee you will feel amazing." And Corinne says, "Fuck that shit. Take that exquisite, rude-looking Muppet and run."
I don't know if it'd make me feel amazing to break some shit that I created. I usually don't make something and I'm like, I must destroy this. No. If I got that little gnome elf and was like, "Look at Sylvia. Snap." Break it in half. Ha. Ha, that feels so good.
Oh. Yeah, no. No, but I will say that if I made some like really cute Muppet with like angry eyebrows in a class and then they were like, now tear it apart. I'd be like, bye.
It did. It looked like a blue Bert kind of.
It reminded me sort of that one soccer player in Ted Lasso.
Oh, it did. Yes, it did.
Roy Kent.
Aha.
And he's got excellent brows, as did this Muppet.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. We cut to Dash stopping into the break room a little later. The instructor hands him the notebook and informs him that his friend is a very talented artist. It's the first time we've had a Muppet. Dash is thrilled and asks to see the corpse, but there is none because next, as Corinne said, she would do the same. Lily's happily walking down the street with Muppet Dash tucked under her arm. Her voiceover tells us, sorry, notebook boy, I like looking for the rainbows. She stops by the dog park to give pups dietary appropriate treats. And when she leaves, she comes across Edgar, who happily greets her. Her heart starts beating quickly as she flashes back to the rude little boy who called her names and asks him, are you stalking me? He smiles broadly back at her and admits, I checked out your Instagram after the show. He only posts dog photos at this park around 3 p.m., so I've been coming here all week hoping to run into you.
Oh, stalker.
Her disposition darkens as she informs him. That is literally the definition of stalking.
Yeah.
Edgar doesn't catch the accusation and continues, I thought you'd have a dog, but I don't see one. So what, you just bring other people's dogs treats? Lily says defensively, no, I make them. Edgar chuckles and adds, that is so weird, which sets her off and she accuses, so you just came here to call me weird? Okay, got it. She storms off, but he chases her and explains, wait, no, I felt bad after the punk show. She stops and answers, oh yeah, the punk show where you maybe sort of told me I look like a freak, which I probably did, and that's totally fine. She looks as if she wants to leave again, but Edgar tells her, no, your dancing was awesome. You've always been able to let go, like, even when we were kids, it always made me so jealous. He holds up his wrist and is wearing a friendship bracelet, Corinne. And the friendship bracelet looks fucking pristine. And you cannot tell me that he's insinuating that that bracelet that we saw him in the last episode drop on the floor after his friends left, he picked it back up, put it on his wrist, and has been wearing it ever since.
Okay, just stick with me here. I think Edgar is an asshole. And he totally was like, to his friends, he was like, ah, it's so weird. Drop the bracelet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then when his friends walk off, he like quickly scrambles, puts it in his pocket, does not wear it.
Oh.
Because he's like fucking like ashamed to be seen wearing the bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
But when he sees Lily, because he would have shown her the fucking bracelet to begin with when he saw her at the punk show, but he did not. So when he sees Lily, he's like, okay, I'm going to put on this bracelet and be like, look, I've been wearing it all along. Which, pristine bracelet, no, you have not.
I was like, first of all, bullshit. Because if you wore that thing all along, I have worn a friendship bracelet up until the point where it fell off my wrist. And same. It was about 3.5 months.
Oh, I mean, I've worn them for like a couple of years, but I will tell you, they look ratty.
They get real, real ragged.
Yeah.
And I don't put that much stock into Edgar's thoughtfulness. As the series and this episode goes on, you will see what I mean, gentle listeners, because he is crickets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on in his head, basically.
Yeah, I have thoughts and they will be shared at a later point, but not a fan.
Anywho, Lily is floored and asks, you were jealous of me? Edgar confirms, yeah, I was. And now you've grown up so cute. I mean, look at you. You even have a puppet. Lily asks if he remembers the last time they spoke as kids. And Edgar does not, but he miraculously has a friendship bracelet on.
He knows. He knows what he did. He's just pretending.
We learn that shortly after the bracelet interaction, he got sent to boarding school for setting a fire. He asks if she remembers what happened the last time they talked, and she says no, even though that moment has lived rent-free in her mind for years.
Uh-huh.
So, he asks her to attend a slam poetry session with him. She's surprised and asks, you're going to a slam poetry session? His smile softens and he admits, I'm trying on my free spirit hat like yours. It doesn't come as naturally to some of us, but I'm trying.
Oh, and he is fucking wearing the most ridiculous looking hat, literally, to express his, quote, free-spiritedness, which is a red plaid hunter's cap.
Be very, very quiet. We're hunting lilies.
Exactly.
He finishes by saying, "You're the real deal, Lily, and people notice."
Truth.
He hurries away, and she stands there alone for a moment, looking shooketh.
We cut to later that evening. Dash is in his father's swanky apartment, donning his silk robe and swigging a brandy as he reads Lily's next entry, like one does.
Yep, one does not.
She says, "I couldn't destroy my creation, but this notebook is the perfect vessel to release any emotions, good or bad. I can tell you anything." He then gets a Barack of texts.
Barack Obama texted him, yes. That's what I meant.
I was like, it's capitalized in everything.
Barrage. Barrage. I don't know why it kept... That was autocorrect, okay?
Oh, I just thought it was really funny. Of text from his ex and his ex's best friend telling him to come to the Christmas party because they all know he's not in Sweden. Dash tosses his phone and is about to answer Lily about how he's glad she didn't destroy her creation when the front door opens and a giggling couple come in. It's Dash's father and his new, much younger girlfriend, Lisa. She is way closer to Dash's age than she is his father's age.
And she spells her name L-E-E-Z-A.
Ooh.
Lisa.
They're back early from skiing. Lisa leaves to give Dash and his dad an opportunity to talk alone. And once they are, Dash's father explains that Lisa wants to do breakfast at Tiffany's before they're headed to California, a.k.a. Half Moon Bay.
Hmm.
Yes. Which is local to the Bay Area and rather glorious during winter time. So good going, Dad, to go sailing. Dash is confused and asks, "So you weren't going to tell me you were going to be in town?" His dad says matter-of-factly, "I thought you'd be at your mom's." Dash lies, "Well, I was, but I needed a break." To which his dad smirks knowingly and responds, "I get it. Your mother's a pill. Hey, let's do dinner tonight." Dash agrees, then goes to the notebook to divulge a little something about his father. His father steps away, but then comes back saying, "Make sure to change into some decent clothes, and hey, if you're going to post up here, buy some food. All you have in the fridge is mochi." And he pops the last perfect pink mochi in his mouth and walks off, yelling down the hall to Lisa, "Good news, the kid's coming to dinner."
And he ate that mochi. Dash was like, no, fuck.
Yeah. As part of Dash dies inside.
"You don't know what I went through to get to that mochi, Dad."
Seriously. He just nonchalantly pops it into his mouth. And then we have a glimpse into the future and the past as we see Dad and Lisa sitting across from Dash at a swanky restaurant. But the view turns into a montage of Dash's father with a bevy of beautiful women while Dash's voiceover explains, "This is my Christmas nightmare. It seems every year there's another awkward meal with my dad's girlfriend of the week, culminating in a huge war of the words with Dado as he tries to show off what a good parent he is. Only thing that ever helped me in these fraught dinners was my ex-girlfriend Sophia. She could diffuse any situation." Dash realizes what he's writing and, smarter than most of the guys that I've been out with who talk about their exes nonstop during the first date, he tears that page out and crumples it up. Good on you, Dash. And then he tries to write something about how he can't stop thinking about Lily. He rejects this page too and rips it from the book before getting on his phone and asking a mystery person, "Hey, are you free for dinner tonight? And now I'm wondering, Dash, what are you doing?" And the answer probably is, "Just trying to survive teenagedom. Thank you."
As we all had to at one point or another. Next, we see Lily in her apartment outside her brother's door. He's yelling at Benny, who's yelling back, "I'm going to Puerto Rico!" before storming out. Lily waits for him to go before entering Langston's room to find him sniffling and crying on his bed. She apologizes, but Langston puts on a stern face and assures his sister, "I'm not doing long distance again. I've been burned by that before." Lily sits on the bed next to him and gently says, "Long distance isn't so bad." Her older brother wipes his nose and says snidely, "What do you know? You've never even dated before." Lily answers, "Notebook boy." Her brother gets up abruptly and says dismissively, "That's not a relationship. That's a pen pal. And you could still mail him your notebook from Fiji." Lily looks at him confused. "Why would I mail him my notebook from Fiji?" Her brother's silent for a moment before spinning around and asking, "Do you really think Mom and Dad are in Fiji for a second honeymoon? Wake up. They're there because Dad is up for a job. And if he gets it, then you're all moving to Fiji except me. I can stay here because legally I'm an adult. But you're going, and we didn't tell you because we knew you'd freak out." Lily and Corinne all cry, "You lied to me!"
"Cortez had about inevitable betrayal!"
To which her brother responds coldly, "I guess we're both having a shitty Christmas." Lily is again shooketh and leaves in a huff.
In a huff.
That's fucked. Langston, I loved you so much before, Langston, and now you're being a shitty, shitty brother.
Yes, like you're being such a petty bitch. Just because things aren't going your way, you've got to like rain on Lily's parade.
And then belittle her for her dating experience. Like, that's fucked.
Yeah. You're just jelly. You don't have a notebook boyfriend.
I can imagine what that would look like. It'd be way more NC-17 than Lily's.
Yes.
Back and forth. What is the notebook equivalent to a dick pic?
Oh, I mean, the notebook equivalent to a dick pic is writing erotica.
Or drawing a picture of their dick. Wait, I didn't get the bend quite right. One ball is a little bit larger than the other.
Or a dick print, huh? You can just like slap some paint on there and go, boop.
That's even better. I want to ask somebody to do that for me one time if I find the right guy someday.
Someday my prince will come and make a dick print by putting paint on his dick and boop.
Slapping it against a piece of paper.
Then you'll know he's the one.
Or I'll break up with him and sell it for millions of dollars.
I tried blackmailing him with it, but it didn't work for some reason.
Looks like a lot of people's dicks, apparently.
Then we see the restaurant for Dash's exciting dinner with his father and girlfriend. Dash is making polite small talk about Lisa's job, she's a microbiologist, while Dad is making subtle jabs about his son being a smart aleck and not sportsy. Barf. Barf, barf, barf. Dash looks like he's gonna explode until someone walks into the restaurant. It's Sophia. Dash sees her and is immediately more at ease. Sophia does indeed diffuse the tension at the table when she joins them. She warmly greets Dad and charms Lisa, who she says to, "Dash has told me so much about you." And I'm like, Dash has known about Lisa for about 5 seconds. What is there to know about her? How would he communicate anything about her?
My dad's got a new girlfriend. Her name's Lisa. Oh, contains multitudes.
Contains multitudes. Also, when Lisa, she says that she's a microbiologist, Dash politely goes, "Oh, like, that's kind of cool." And she's like, "So, do you like microbiology?" And he's like, "What the fuck, man? What would indicate that I know what even what microbiology is? Question mark, question mark." I don't know what microbiology is. I mean, I can guess, but I don't know what it is. You're asking a high schooler, and I'm not saying that all high schoolers wouldn't be jazzed about microbiology, but I don't think microbiology is at the forefront of his mind, shockingly. Do you think that Dash is a secret microbiology fanatic?
No.
Sophia explains that she just got back from Bolzano. I don't know where Bolzano is, but she did get back from it. Dash's dad tells his girlfriend. Oh, and Lisa's like, "Oh my God, I love Bolzano." And Sophia's like, "Yeah, I love Bolzano too." And they're like, "Bolzano sisters."
And then they look at Dash pointedly and go, "Do you like Bolzano, Dash?"
"Bolzano por vida." And Dash is like, "I don't know what microbiology is or Bolzano.
Leave me the fuck alone." That doesn't happen.
Dash's dad tells his girlfriend, "See, I've always wanted to travel with my son, but he's always too busy with his nose stuck in a book." Fuck right off, Dad. Fuck right off. He addresses Dash. "Why don't you ever want to travel with me?" Dash's voiceover tells us, because you never really invited me because you were always traveling with one of your girlfriends who you cared for more than me. Which one should I say first, Dad? But he doesn't say that out loud. Dash's expression sours again before he remembers Lily's words saying, "Listen to your mochi. Sometimes the best answer makes itself heard, but only if your mind is quiet." Dad prods menacingly. "You gonna fight me on this too?" And he does it like with a smile. It's really creepy. I'm not a fan. Tam's nodding her head no too. She's not a fan either.
Shaking my head no.
shaking my head no, yes. But Dash quiets himself, leans back in his chair and says, "I was just thinking of that bookstore by our old place you used to take me to on 81st. Do you remember?" Dash's dad does. He tells the table it was always after t-ball games, and promising a trip to the bookstore is the only way I could get you to play sports. Dash continues, "I loved going there with you. It's probably where I first fell in love with books." Dad smiles nostalgically and changes the subject to another bookstore in another country with Lisa, and the crisis has been averted.
And Sophia's looking at him like, "What the fuck was that?"
"You showed restraint. Who are you even?"
"You usually storm out of here in a huff."
"In a huff."
Back at Lily's house, she's spinning out of control with this new information. She gets on her phone, dials, and asks the person on the other end, "Did Boomer get there yet?" "No, okay. Is there a red notebook there somewhere?" "Why?" "Because I need a place to write down my feelings."
Okay. And then I love how the person obviously says, "Do you want a pizza?" And she's like, "No, why would I want to order a pizza?"
Like, you called a pizza place, huh?
Who would call a pizzeria to order pizza?
She needs the notebook, Corinne.
The nerve.
The person thought so too, because they hang up and Lily, incensed, puts on her jacket and storms out into the snowy New York night. In a park, she sees a group of snowmen. At first, she passes them, but then she turns around and hears Dash's voice tell her, "Let it all out if you can. If you can't find the rainbow, then stand in the rain and scream." Lily gets the biggest stick she could find and beats the holy shit out of all the snowmen, of which they were four, and they were all well-dressed and pretty well-made.
Yeah, very cute.
But after she's done with them, they're nothing but sludgy lumps. She raises her hands in triumph and continues on to the Poetry Slam venue. They are between performers, but Lily is out of fucks to give and storms onto stage uninvited and runs the MC off.
Okay, Dash and Lily cutter count 4, 5?
God damn. Yeah, these kids just cut in line like mofos.
Uh-huh.
Crazy cutting mofos.
Yes.
When she gets the mic, she cries, "Edgar, are you here?" There's no answer, so she pushes on undeterred. "Okay, well, I just beat the crap out of something and it felt amazing. And I'm not always nice. I can say things suck, like those wall sconces. They're a suck fest on ice."
Did they show the wall sconces?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
We just have to take Lily's word for it.
All right.
The crowd murmurs with approval, so she continues, "I'm not holding back, not after Fiji, and I'm not happy all the time. In fact, I usually feel small and like an outsider because of, She sees Edgar alone in a booth and points him out. "Because of him! My middle school bully in the flesh. The night at the middle school dance when you got that friendship bracelet changed everything. Every time I had a chance to go out and make friends, I didn't because you kept me from wanting to put myself out there and doing all the things I wanted. And the worst part is you don't even remember. And now you have the nerve to ask me out?" An audience member calls out, "Maybe he liked you."
Oh, fuck off.
That she shuts that shit down with all kinds of "boys shouldn't pull pigtails and girls be like, it's fine because they like you" bullshit. Then Lily starts listing off the people she's pissed at. Her parents, Langston, herself. But she looks squarely at Edgar and says, "But you don't get to have that power over me anymore. I wish I could go back and confront you then and lived all the rest of my life like a normal person. I wish I could have stood up to all the bullies who made me feel too weird, too different, too Asian. But I was only 12 years old." Edgar slowly stands up and answers, "So was I. And I never had any idea I ever did any of that. Can I make it up to you?" He invites Lily to a Christmas Eve party the next night. She reluctantly agrees, and the audience goes wild with applause as she leaves the stage and joins him at his booth to watch the rest of the slam together. When she sits down, he tells her, "I'm really happy you came." And she punches him square in the face.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. She doesn't punch him square in the face.
No.
She just looks at him with hearts in her eyes because, yay, her crush likes her and he thinks she's cool and this is going to work out great, right? Uh-huh. Right, Corinne?
So right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not like, fuck off, Edgar. I'm all too familiar with guys like you, being a quirky girl myself. I have encountered my fair share of mediocre guys who appreciated the novelty of the quirk, but actually don't know how to embrace the quirk itself. They are too motherfucking focused on the show and being entertained and not the content. I am surprised boys like him don't blow away in the breeze for being so malleable and made of fluff.
That sounds like you wrote that down. Did you write that down?
I spoke it from my heart and I wrote it down.
I think we should create shirts that say embrace the quirk.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. I will totally wear an embrace the quirk shirt. Absolutely. I wrote it down all in one go, just like rapid fire.
I couldn't tell. You barely took a breath when you said all that.
I have no feelings about this. No feelings at all. Outside the restaurant, Dash says goodbye to his father and Lisa, and the evening seems to have ended on a positive note. Before his dad gets into a cab, he tells his son, maybe we can check out that bookstore again in the new year, which is actually a nice thing that came out of his mouth.
Then he just counters that with something shitty.
Yeah. And the autocorrect went wild because it said The Whispers, which made it sound like a band, but it was Then Whispers. But I just thought it was like featuring The Whispers. I thought there was going to be a song after that.
You going to point out all of my
typos? No! Look, I'm fine with taking them out. I just thought it was like, my mind went wild with my imagination.
Okay. This podcast is going to be quite a bit longer if you point out all of my typos. I'm just saying, because I did not go back and edit this before I gave it to you, because I'm like, I'm fucking done.
And I was like, that is fine.
I'm just going to take it and then point out every mistake that you make.
Look, just because I've highlighted it and changed the color to, you know, make sure I don't miss a single one.
I was wondering why it was red and in bold. I see.
Uh-huh. You're like, The Whisper shouldn't be in bold. It should be smaller than everything else. The Whispers.
And why it was accompanied with an 80s band clip art picture. Huh. I was like, who are these people? Oh, those are who you think The Whispers should look like.
Yes,
got you.
Yes, absolutely. They all have Flock of Seagulls hair. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So then Dado whispers, I'm glad you and Sophia are back together. Dash tells his dad that they're not together, but Dad winks, saying, if I know one thing, it's women.
Ew.
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 Ew. Can we all just take a moment for a collective ew?
No.
One more time, just in case you missed the moment. Ew.
I don't think you know women. I think you just have money because you can't obviously keep a relationship, a long-term relationship. Ugh. Or maybe that's your jam, sir. I don't know. Ugh. And then you shouldn't be telling your son that your ex-wife is too much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay, creepy dad. Thanks. And now we shall continue. Once Dash is alone with Sophia, she gushes, who was that guy in there? You didn't even need me. Dash chuckles and thanks her for coming. Sophia tells him she's glad he reached out because she wanted to talk to him. She informs him, I'm moving back to New York and I wanted to make sure we're okay. Maybe even friends again? Dash agrees. Friends may be good. Then Sophia invites him to hang out with some of their school friends, and he reluctantly agrees. As they're walking, Lily's voiceover says, it's hard to break old habits and open yourself up to something new, but if you can do it, notebook boy, I promise to try. Dash and Sophia make it to the cafe where he's ribbed by Priya, his nemesis, but like frenemy nemesis, who can't believe he's not in Sweden and out after 11 p.m. But since he's with Sophia, he still gets invited to Priya's premiere party the next night. Him and Sophia agree to go as friends. Just then, the duo is approached by dun dun dun, fucking Edgar. Seriously?
Yes, Edgar is part of their posse.
Ugh.
What?
Ugh. Who regales him with the adventures of going to the poetry slam and that he will see the pair at the Christmas party the next night with his new mystery girl, aka date. What? What? Are worlds colliding? Does this mean Dash and Lily are going to be at the same party? Whatever will happen? Find out with us after the break.
And we're back with the next episode, episode 6, titled Christmas Eve.
And the previous episode was called Sophia and Edgar.
Yes, because it had Sophia and Edgar in it.
Yes.
Dash is telling Lily and the notebook, "Dear Lily, an old friend is back in town and things between us are complicated. We see Dash and Sophia walking down the city streets. She's imploring him to toss his old beat-up coat, but he declines. There's too much history, and you never know what you're going to find in the pocket." He pulls a hand into his breast pocket and pulls out an old moldy muffin, and promptly chucks it in the trash as Sophia giggles beside him. Sophia asks Dash to let her style him tonight for the party in case he meets somebody.
Ooh.
He explains, "I kind of already have." We cut to them in a diner, and Sophia is livid that Dash has ordered an apple pie with a big slice of melted cheddar cheese on it.
I got us apple pie and sliced cheese so we can try this delight. Gentle listeners, we will report back to you next week.
Yes, yes. But you got the Dutch crumbles with like the good stuff on top.
Yeah.
I imagine that the cheddar cheese would have to be on one that just has like the regular crust. Just the regular.
Oh, I wouldn't do that to my dad's pie.
No, no. I'm not saying your dad's pie. I'm saying like some Marie Callender's bullshit pie. Nothing wrong with Marie Callender's. If you like it, it's fine.
It's just not my dad's pie. My dad is like an excellent apple pie maker.
Mm-hmm. And I think I told this story before where I once wanted to try a slice of apple pie with cheddar cheese on it when my dad took me to a bowling alley diner for breakfast and he refused to let me try it. He's like, "I'm not going to let you do that." I'm like, "But I was an adventurous eater even back then."
Yes.
Anyways.
We need to reclaim the pie. Reclaim the pie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once you get that cheesy apple pie, your life will be transformed. Tam doesn't believe me.
No, I don't. The pie with the cheddar cheese is the next part of his dare, but Sophia's dubious that a girl who encourages Dash to eat pie and cheese together has good intentions. Dash tells her, "I'm into it," and how their notebook relationship has evolved over the past week as he takes a huge bite of pie and enjoys it. He tries to get Sophia to try it, but no. Since they're friends, Sophia cautions him against putting this girl up on a pedestal, and Dash asks, "What do you mean?" Sophia explains that all guys have a perfect girl in their head, and if he never meets Lily, she can always stay that perfect girl.
Ooh, she's jealous and cutting, and also right. Sowing seeds of doubt, though? Oof.
Dash scoffs and assures her, "We'll meet eventually. We just want to get to know each other first." To which she cautions, "I think it's super romantic, but when you put girls on pedestals, they eventually fall. Now let's go to Bergdorf's to shop for your party look."
Oh.
Before they go, Dash writes, "Dear Lily, thank you for helping me be more flexible when it comes to the past. You've given me a Christmas break that doesn't totally suck. In the spirit of reciprocity, I will give you my name in this notebook that I will leave with Miss Basil E. so it can be under your tree on Christmas morning."
Ooh. We cut to Lily at the same diner at a different time, happily eating a piece of pie with a huge slice of cheese on it while she writes in the notebook. Two of her adult Caroline friends join her and asks if the notebook boy is the one who got her to go to the Holla Back Boys show. When Lily confirms this, they think her notebook guy is pretty cool. They also apologize about Fiji, but tell her, "New York is overrated, and you're literally moving to paradise." Lily explains to her friends, "Well, it's not for sure yet, so I'm trying to stay optimistic."
Corinne, yes? Where would you rather move to, Fiji or New York?
New York.
What if you were a kid?
Kid me would totally prefer Fiji because I would hope it'd be more natural.
Yeah. Than New York? No.
If I lived in New York City, referring to New York City.
Yeah.
If I lived in New York City, I would like try and set up a tent in Central Park. So there you go. They know that Lily is trying to stay optimistic because she practically has a PhD in optimism. She finishes writing her response entry, which is, "Dear notebook boy, whose name I'm excited to learn, I'm happy to help. It feels like a lot of things are up in the air in my life right now, but not you. You've made me feel better about facing the future." Just then, she gets a text from Edgar saying he'll pick her up for the party at 6:30. Later that night, she is creating a Christmas sweater masterpiece and guiltily turning her notebook mystery boy Muppet around so he can't see her getting ready to go out with another boy, because that Muppet is like, "Curse your son and brother, never more betrayal." Her brother cautiously enters the room with the game Settlers of Catan, asking, "Who wants to play? It's a Christmas Eve tradition." Lily barely looks up before saying, "Even if I wasn't mad at you, I don't play with liars." Langston rationalizes, "I didn't lie. I omitted information." Nope.
No.
No. No. No. No.
For how long, Langston? That you can omit information and call it omitting if it's longer than, what was it? Maybe an hour. I'd say longer than an hour. It's a lie.
Total lie. If he knows it's something that she'll care about and whatnot, it's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even said, "We lied to you because we knew you'd freak out."
Yeah.
You admitted. You said it. Or we didn't tell you.
Yeah.
We omitted the truth.
Omitted, schmomitted. Langston continues, "I'm sorry I snapped. I was hurting over the Benny breakup and I took it out on you." Lily accepts his apology, but only because she needs dating advice. Langston excitedly plops down on her bed, asking, "With Notebook Boy?" Lily informs him, "It's someone else, but I feel guilty because it's like I'm cheating on Notebook Boy, and I really like him." Langston agrees, "I like him too, especially because he got you out of your bubble. What is he up to tonight anyways?" Lily informs her brother, "He's out with an old friend." Langston's disposition shifts immediately as he hisses, "That snake!" Lily's confused until he explains, "That's code for ex-girlfriend." His sister argues, "No, it's like a friend he made at a nursing home." Her voice trails off with the realization of how ridiculous that sounds. Oh, I get it now. Old, as in senior citizen old. And exclaims, "Oh my God. And Boomer said he had an ex." Most of us do have exes.
Lily doesn't.
Truth. Langston is nodding emphatically and adds, "See, he has experience, so you need to go out there and get some before..." He trails off and she completes his sentence. "Fiji." Her brother responds, "If you really like this Notebook Boy, you gotta tell him."
Wow. Langston's trying to push his sister out to go get experience.
I know, Langston.
You little hoe.
We're talking about Langston, not Lily.
Yes, yes, of course. Langston, the one that kept showing up under bed covers in the last episodes. Not last, but last. Lily knows that she should tell him, but instead of doing that, she beelines it to Two Boots Pizza for a secret meeting with Boomer, because there's nothing Boomer likes better than a secret meeting.
No, Boomer's heart can't take it.
Wait, what was it? When they were doing the notebook thing and he seemed into it. I can't remember.
It was like a secret spy mission. Yes. But his heart wasn't into it. He liked the idea and the playfulness of it.
Like setting a trap. He liked setting a trap.
But the reality of the inequality of it all had him chasing after Lily and telling her what was going on.
Boomer would not make it as a spy.
No. 100% no.
Anyways, Boomer and Lily are sitting in broad daylight, but are at separate booths with their backs to each other, just in case. Lily asks if Notebook Boy for sure doesn't know who she is. And when Boomer confirms this, she asks, "You said he had an ex, but I was wondering, is he hanging out with her again?" Mm-hmm. Boomer emphatically denies this, stating, "No, they're over and she lives thousands of miles away. There's no way." Lily nods, but adds, "It's just that he said he was hanging out with an old friend. And we all know," except Lily didn't know, "that that's code for an ex." This gives Boomer pause. But he tells her, "But he never told me he was hanging out with an old friend. I'm sure it's nothing." Lily shoves the book behind her and says, "Can you please give this to him before I change my mind?" Boomer agrees, "I'm going to see him tonight at a party." Cut to later that night at Priya's party. Boomer arrives in his festive green yippee-ki-yay motherfucker sweatshirt and is surprised to see Sophia is also there. He approaches her saying, "I didn't know you were back in town." They make awkward small talk until the doorbell rings and in walks Dash. Boomer looks as if he doesn't even recognize his friend. But before he can say anything, Priya comes over and gushes, "Slim pant legs and a mod mock neck sweater. Somebody's in fine form tonight." Sophia practically wraps herself around Dash's neck as she coos, "You should have seen him crying at Bergdorf's when I made him toss his old pea coat."
fuck off, Sophia. That peacoat was everything.
Except for the moldy muffin residue in the pockets.
They can be washed. Mm.
Dash gives a chuckling, half-hearted objection as Boomer balks. You went shopping with Sophia? Priya ignores this comment and is glad Dash came because she needs to use him. She gushes, I got an assignment in AP Literature and I want to do something really impressive. What do you recommend? Sophia interjects, in Cold Blood, On Beauty, or Kafka on the Shore. Those are your favorites, right, Dash? Boomer looks at the two livid while Priya says, thanks, Dash, by the way of Sophia. Anyways, I'm so glad the band's back together again, before hurrying away to see to her other guests.
Boomer's expression of, Dash, why are you letting Sophia talk to you?
Why is Sophia here? Why are you standing next to her? Why are you dressed like that? And why is she talking for you?
Yeah.
Those were all flashing across his face in this one scene.
Who are you, a pod person? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Also, let's take a moment to talk about the class disparity between Lily and Dash and Dash's friends.
Okay.
Like, Lily lives in an apartment with five people in it. And you know that bitch is rent controlled and it's like cozy AF. Mm-hmm. Super cute. Love it. Priya's in a penthouse suite.
Yeah.
And Sophia's parents, one of her parents is a whatever, international representative.
Diplomat.
Thank you. I kept on thinking delegate and I was like, nope. And fucking Dash's dad is, he just came from fucking Switzerland and is going to, or Netherlands or whatever, and is going to fly off to Half Moon Bay and
to go sailing with his girlfriend.
But we decided to stop in New York so that we could do the whole Breakfast at Tiffany's experience. Like, that's like fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
And Lily's family is doing okay, but they are not in that kind of money world. Money.
Maybe that's why they're moving to Fiji for the better life. Corinne just did a money shimmy that was glorious.
Thank you. Inspired by White Lotus.
Shaking the tatas to money.
Yeah. Meanwhile, across town, Edgar is picking up Lily. She comes out to meet him on her stoop and shows him her sweater creation, which, with the flip of a switch, lights up. Edgar is charmed and exclaims, "No one in the world could pull off that sweater except you." They get inside the car and he bonks his head on the doorway and grimaces in pain. She immediately checks to see if he's okay, only to have him snicker and say, "Gotcha, that was a good one." I love the expression on Tam's face.
Oh, Edgar, you're so fucking funny. I'm dying.
And that's very similar to the expression on Lily's face. We can see that she does not agree that it was a good one, but she chuckles good-naturedly.
And then you see a flash across her face that almost says, "What the fuck did I just get into?"
If Edgar had a different name, it would be Smarmy McSmarmington. And if he had a catchphrase, it'd be finger guns, finger guns, finger guns.
Which he would say as he's giving you finger guns, yes. Finger guns, finger guns. But he would be like, "I need you to know that I'm giving you finger guns, so I'm going to sing the finger gun song as I give you finger guns."
Exactly. At the same time, back at Priya's party, Boomer has pulled Dash into an empty room and is giving him a tongue lashing for not telling him he's hanging out with Priya again. Oh, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal with your giant lie of omission. Speaking of lie of omissions.
That's just too rampant in this show. It's too rampant. Mm. People, just call it what it is. A lie.
It's a lie.
No withholding information. No omissions. Lie. Say it with me. Lie.
Oh, my goodness. Dash assures his friend that they're just friends and it's not a big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, then you would have told Boomer. But Boomer begs to differ. He sits his friend down and gives him the bullet points. She's bad for you. You guys are falling back into your old habits. She styles you, talks for you like you're some zombie Ken doll. She is cool and worldly, but she is wrong for you. And are you even having fun? Dash deadpans, "Well, this conversation isn't helping." Boomer produces the red notebook from behind his back and tells him, Lily makes you have fun. She brings out the best in you. She challenges you. He hands his friend the book. Dash assures him, I will be sure to keep you abreast of all of my whereabouts going forward. Boomer accepts this and responds, On that note, I've got to go. I'm going to see a double feature of Die Hard and It's a Wonderful Life with Jeff. Dash asks, Who's Jeff? And Boomer informs his friend, The elf from Macy's. See, doesn't feel good, does it? So beware of Sophia and make sure you don't blow a good thing with Lily. And with that, Boomer leaves the party.
As Boomer is getting on the elevator going down, Lily and Edgar are arriving and they
just... In the second elevator.
Because it's a penthouse. Mm-hmm. And of course, they have many elevators in the penthouse. Mm. And they just miss each other. As they were coming up, Lily was a little apprehensive about going to the party where she didn't know anybody. But Edgar very sweetly took her hand and told her, Don't worry, you're with me and I'm kind of great at parties. And when they arrive, the party's in full swing and Edgar immediately leaves her to say hi to his bros.
Oh, color me surprised. Okay, Tam, how surprised were you that he ditched Lily as soon as he came through the door?
Not at all. While he's gone, Lily looks around and notices most girls at the party are wearing tight, short, designer sequence dresses that tug them in all the places. Lily then self-consciously turns off the lights from her Christmas sweater and looks even more self-conscious when Edward returns to take her coat and leaves her alone again. But this time not before saying, Make yourself comfortable. That's how he's great at parties. He'll tell you to make yourself comfortable. That's right up there with... Relax. And calm down.
Take a breath. Yeah. Just get comfortable. Oh, you're feeling anxious. Don't worry about it.
So apparently, when he said, I'm great at parties, that means he will shove you alone off the deep end into a sea of friends and expect you to swim. That's how Edgar rolls.
What else would Edgar do on a date? I think he'd get like sneaky drinks from a flask and get super sloppy drunk. So I had to make sure that he made it home okay. And he'd probably throw up on my shoes. Any other choice Edgar scenarios you would like to posit?
I just got flashbacks so hard and now I'm twitching.
No.
I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Dragging drunk boyfriends home and having to care for them. Memories in the corner of mine. Misty watercolored memories of the way we were. I don't want to revisit that. I don't want to revisit the bad Edgar at parties. I'm good. Sorry, gentle listeners. Use your imagination.
Fortunately, you did not date Edgar.
Meanwhile, in the next room... Dash has hunkered down between the coats that have been thrown on the bed and reads Lily's latest journal entry from the notebook. She talks about the new animated love story called Collate, which is about office supplies that fall in love. And one of the characters, a highlighter, says to be bold. Just then, Edgar enters the room with his and Lily's jacket and flops him down next to Dash and says, You're reading at a party? Typical Dash. I love you, bro. Ugh. Before hightailing it back out of there. Dash waits till he leaves before finishing her words. I wish you were here so we could make office puns together. But be bold seems fitting because you have emboldened me more than anyone else. So it's time for me to put it out there. This notebook is not enough. I think we should meet in person. What do you say? He sits up and writes back. Dear Lily, I wish you were here with me right now too. But we don't know what else he writes.
Because she is there with him. Dun, 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 dun.
But they don't know that.
Dun, 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 dun. We cut to him back at the party, where Priya is polling the party whether they should watch Home Alone or Home Alone 2. The crowd chants, Home Alone 2. And Dash is livid and points out in true Corinne, a.k.a. me, fashion. He points out all the logistical errors that the sequel has, like an airport with a view of the Manhattan skyline, or how Kevin McAllister walks from Chinatown to the World Trade Center on foot. Everyone groans at Dash, so he finishes, Nevertheless, it's a great movie. Let's do Home Alone 2. That would so be me, particularly high school me. Yes.
Yep.
But we know he doesn't mean it. Everyone's silent except Lily, who laughs loudly because she knows he doesn't mean it. Dash appreciates this and smiles at her, not knowing she's notebook girl. A little later, when Lily's alone at the snack table, Dash approaches professor.
You're thrown off because I put data again, didn't you?
No. I auto-corrected all the datas.
Right there, there's a data.
Once I figured out it wasn't the instructor's name, I was like, let me just auto-correct this. 6 instances later, it was fixed.
That would be an interesting twist if Lily's at the table and all of a sudden the instructor blows up to her. You didn't kill your Muppet. It's time. I broke into your house and brought it with me and some scissors.
Oh my gosh. Or he's just like, here's a bat, take it to the snack table.
Oh.
So Lily's alone at the snack table and Dasher approaches her and compliments her sweater. She tells him, I'm well aware that I look ridiculous. But he argues, no, I mean it. That's really cool. I look ridiculous. Look at my fancy pants. Lily is charmed and decides to share the sweater's secret flourish. She turns on the sweater ornament lights and holds her hands over her head so her body resembles the shape of a Christmas tree. Dash is genuinely impressed and Lily admits, I really hate the label ugly sweaters. He nods in agreement and responds, then I'd like to compliment you on your unconventionally attractive sweater. Lily, in turn, compliments his pants by saying, and your pants are attractive on the inside. Except she doesn't. She hears how that sounds the moment it comes out of her mouth and backpedals. I mean, I don't know what's in your pants. The two strangers are surprised at how at ease they are with each other and joke back and forth about Lily robbing the place. But Dash will only help maintain her cover as long as she takes him as a hostage, because he'd rather be anywhere else. He points towards his classmates and says, the only people who like parties are people like them. Edgar, Edgar, is fake banging his head on the wall for laughs. Oh, you're so funny. And Lily asks, you know Edgar? Dash confirms, yeah. Edgar Thibault, who says whatever stupid random thing that pops into his head? People love him, but I don't get it. Lily points out Sophia as a party person and guesses, look at her. She's gorgeous. I bet she speaks a dozen languages and has never been alone at a party. Dash tells her, well, if one's different, one's bound to be lonely. He also mentions that Sophia speaks 3 different languages, I think.
6.
6. Oh, excuse me. There we go. Lily's face grows serious and she says, that's a quote from Brave New World. Not that Sophia speaks 6 languages, but if one's different, one's bound to be lonely. She's right. And before the two can introduce themselves, they are interrupted by Edgar and Sophia, who think the night needs to get spiced up and propose a game of truth or dare. Yay! Are we on Love Island? I suddenly feel like we're on Love Island. Nothing good can come out of truth or dare except maybe a fortunate kiss, but more likely an awkward one.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because Edgar and Sophia probably felt the heat that was coming off of Dash and Lily. We're like, ning. We got to go in there.
Yes.
Danger, danger.
Seriously.
Dash and Lily are reluctant participants, but they meet with all the other guests in the huge kitchen, because it's a fucking penthouse, while Sophia holds court and tells Dash, you like dares, so you'll go first. Truth or dare? Dash hesitantly picks dare, and Sophia sultrily says, I dare you to go back in time with me and leave this party. Dash is confused by what she's asking, but will take any excuse to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the two head off together amidst the whoops and hollers from their peers. Once Sophia's gone, Priya takes over as MC and tells Lily, you're next. Lily picks truth. And when Priya asks, where's the craziest place you've ever hooked up? The deer caught in headlights look on Lily's face prompts Priya to revise the question. Okay, make out then. Craziest place you've made out. When Lily still stands silent, Priya offers, held hands? As the group looks more and more uncomfortable, including Edgar. Outside the party, Sophia has blindfolded Dash and leads him down the street into a secret location. She knows he loves museums but hates how crowded they are, so she leads him to the Morgan Librarian Museum. When she pulls off the blindfold, he tells her, I hate to tell you this, but the Morgan's closed. But Sophia has called in a favor and has procured some after-hour keys. She asks him, you ready to travel back in time? And he is thrilled.
as they wander through the empty museum and reminisce about their first date.
I would be thrilled to be able to wander through a museum while it was completely empty, like no security guards or anything. And if that were the case, I would also bring a pair of roller skates with me because those floors are divine.
That's Corinne in a nutshell. Give me an empty museum so I can peruse the art at my leisure and then wear roller skates.
Yes.
They get to an expansive library wing and Sophia asks Dash, "Why are you smiling?" He tells her, "This room reminds me of a book where two children run away to live in a museum. It's called From the Mixed Up Files of Miss Basil E." He looks at the walls contemplative, and when he looks at Sophia again, she's leaning suggestively against a chaise. Dash asks what she's doing, and she simply says, "I dare you."
Mm-hmm. Dash and Lily is full of dares.
Mm-hmm. And line cutters.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it should have been called Daring Line Cutters. Back at the party, it's Edgar's turn in the game, and he triumphantly calls out, "I dare everyone to play strip poker!" Well, everyone seems titillated by this idea, except Lily, who wordlessly heads towards the door. She's like, "Fuck this noise." Edgar sees her and follows her out and asks, "Don't go!" But she somberly informs him, "Sorry, I have to get home before curfew, and I want to get the fuck out of here." Mm-hmm. He asks, "Well, at least let me get you an Uber home." He puts the request in on the app. Super sweet thing to do, getting the Uber for her, I gotta say. And while he's waiting, he looks at her seriously and asks, "Is it true you've never been kissed?" She answers defensively, "Why? Because I'm so weird?" "No," he says softly, "because you're beautiful." The kiss tractor beam begins whirring to life, and Edgar and Lily lean closer and closer. Their lips are practically touching when Edgar's phone buzzes. He checks it and says, "Hey, sorry, the Uber surge rate is way too high right now, and my dad is super tight with my budget. Can you get your own ride home?" Who says chivalry is dead? Am I right? Am I right?
Me. Chivalry's dead.
What an asshole. Lily reluctantly agrees and closes the door behind her as Edgar bounds back to the party. Lily is disappointed when she gets back home, but at least tomorrow she will finally learn Notebook Boy's name. Meanwhile, at the museum, Dash is not taken by Sophia's attempt at seduction on a chaise. Ooh, that could be a name of a piece of art.
Or a podcast episode.
Oh, yes. He tells her, "No more dares. Why did you bring me here?" She finally admits that she regrets them breaking up, and if she could go back in time, it would never happen. Dash disagrees. "Yes, it would have. I was putting up walls, and I was never truly myself with you. Thank you, Talk with Boomer." Boomer, you are a good friend. Sophia says, "I agree, but you've changed so much." He counters, "Yeah, but we still haven't. You're still talking for me." "And you made him get rid of his fucking peacoat. What the hell, man? If he had a personality that was an item of clothing, it would be the peacoat."
"Then why did he get rid of it so easily?"
Sophia, man. Look, I'm not blaming Sophia. He's got a choice in all of this, but he wallflowers away when he's with Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should be with somebody who brings out the best in you, not the silence. Sophia looks hurt and admits, "I'm just trying to help because I know you hate talking." Dash appreciates her sentiment, but he now knows that her helping is not getting him out of his comfort zone. Sophia moves closer and tells him, "Honestly, I want us to be more than friends." And she leans in and kisses him. It's too much for Dash to resist, and the camera pans away as she leads him to the chaise. To be continued.
Woo! Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Obviously, I thought this was going to be the episode that tears them apart. Lily's going to wind up with Edgar. Dash is going to wind up with Sophia. And half of that's true. Half of that's come to pass.
I'm making lemon face, by the way, if you haven't noticed.
But this is a perfect episode for the naughty and nice list, Corinne.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yes. I have thoughts and feelings.
All right. Let's start with Langston.
Thank you. That was exactly who I wanted to start with. And Langston is on the naughty list, very firmly on the naughty list. He's like naughty times two.
He's kind of a moody bitch.
I hate to say it, but he snaps at his little sister a lot and then comes back and is like, I'm sorry. Such and such happened. Oh my gosh. Are we okay? We're okay, right?
Right. But then when he tries to make up with her, he then is like, I didn't lie to you. I just didn't tell you.
Yeah. And Elsa rubs it in her face. I get to stay here. You and our parents are going to Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about it.
Yeah. Nope, nope, nope. And still hasn't happened yet. The reveal that I talked about in the last episode that I thought was of our podcast that I thought was going to happen in this episode of our podcast. But I am sure it will be in the next episode. Langston naughty list. Okay.
And he also goes off on Benny for him probably asking him to go to Puerto Rico with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not doing long distance. Long distance is hard.
Yeah.
Which would be a totally fine explanation and you could do whatever you want. But all that other stuff layered in is making me give Langston a bitchy
mm-hmm.
voice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, Edgar, our favorite man of the hour.
Oh, God. Naughty, 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 naughty.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
I really still don't understand why he wants to be with Lily. It's baffling to me because she's gorgeous. And that seems to be the only thing that, I mean, I think he's trying to get out of his Edgar-ness. And he's being like, oh, look, I can go to poetry slams. Oh, I could be with a quirky girl. But it almost seems like he's using that like as currency because he's bragging about, oh my God, you never guessed where I went to a poetry slam. And I took this girl like, oh.
Yeah, he's just trying really hard to be interesting. And he knows that Lily is interesting. And so he's just like
trying to ride on her coattails.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he doesn't do anything redeeming. Like Langston, at least Langston apologizes. Mm-hmm. Edgar's just sitting in the shitty lump of coal on that naughty list. Probably going to stay there the whole time, just guessing.
I do give Edgar a slight, he does do an apology.
When?
At the word slam.
Poetry slam.
Poetry slam.
Where he still says, I was 12 and I didn't know I did all of that to you. And yet he was holding up the friendship bracelet.
I know.
Which shows that he did remember that incident. And he, yeah, no, don't buy it for a goddamn second. And he probably said that because of the audience. He's like, I'm not going to admit that I was a shithead to all these people. It might cause a riot.
I do think he had a point about being 12, though.
Right. Yeah. But all the other stuff peppered around it. Like, come on. You say you don't remember and yet you show her the friendship bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a lane, dude.
Yep.
Pick a lane.
Yep.
What about Sophia? How do we feel about Sophia?
Oh, Sophia, she is on the naughty list for me. I don't think that she is a bad person, unlike Edgar, who I have very strong feelings about. But I feel like she is not interested in supporting Dash in him being Dash.
I'm going to put her on the nice list. I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think she has very good judgment on their relationship. I think she's feeling nostalgic about the way they used to be. And when he tells her, I don't like when you do this, she's like, I used to do it to help you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it to control you or talk over you. You hated people talking at a party and I was just trying to come in and with the assist. And the fact that she like went to him with his dad's dinner, even though he hadn't spoken to her, she's like, I'm here for you. Like, I will be there for you. And then she takes him to the museum, which was very sweet. So she does know certain instances about him. Again, like if we're going to use the young card, she is very young and doesn't realize that it's not the right relationship, but she's trying for what she wants. To mixed results.
Yeah, mixed results. She loses so many points for being like, you're not dressed good enough. I am going to give you a makeover at fucking Bergdorf's. And not only be
but
like,
she asks him. She asks, what? Can I give you? Okay.
Not only be like, oh, hey, wear these clothes, but also we're throwing away your peacoat. Not just like, oh, I want you wearing this outfit. No, we're getting rid of your one iconic piece of outerwear.
Mm-hmm. Are you done?
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, she asks him, and I do say the peacoat was a shitty deal, but I don't think it's enough to put her on the naughty list.
Okay. Agree to disagree. Yeah. Boomer.
Boomer's always on the nice,
nice
list.
Nice list.
Boomer's always on the nice,
nice
list.
Nice list. I just had to bring it around to Boomer because he's a fucking, he's such a good guy.
And he
spit some truth bombs at his friend at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still looking out for Dash and Lily and trying to push them together.
Yes.
Nudge, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
I don't think we should put Dash and Lily on the naughty and nice list. I think we should save that for... Well, I don't think they're either of them are naughty.
No.
They're both nice.
But Dash's dad.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Come on. Come on. Please. He was like the epitome of Smarmy McSmarmington.
That's like Edgar when he grows up.
Yeah. Oh, that. Huh. No.
Oh, he's so gross. He is so gross.
Yes.
And I like wonder, Lisa, what are you doing with him?
Yeah.
It's not an age thing. It's like a personality thing. Like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, he could be a good time for a holiday vacation because, hey, we're going to go skiing. And then, oh, you want to go to breakfast at Tiffany's? We'll pop back on to New York. And then we're off to California to Half Moon Bay.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a good date? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I might endure his personality for a few of those outings.
I think that one of the writers of this was like, had to have been from the Bay Area because not only is Half Moon Bay in there, but then Langston is wearing a crab shirt. I got crabs at Fisherman's Wharf and then it says San Francisco.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I saw that too. I'm like, Langston's wearing a shirt that says, I got crabs. And then it says at Fisherman's Wharf, San Francisco. I'm like, oh my God, let's go across the bay so I can buy that shirt immediately.
We keep on, we go to like all the stores and they're like, no.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. Unless we want to mention Priya, which I don't think we really need to mention Priya.
Yeah, Priya. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
She's fine. She's neutral. So, Tam, what do we have coming up next week?
Next week, we're going to really buckle down and we're going to do one episode of Dash and Lily. It's the Christmas episode.
Jingy, 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 jingy. Hark, hear the bells, sweet little bells, all seem to say, throw kiss away.
I don't know the words, so I'm going to leave it back. Christmas tree, give me a bells on our back.
And if you have anything you'd like to say about the naughty and nice list, Dash and Lily, our controversial thoughts on Sophia, who I don't think is like a terrible person or anything. Just
that's not what she said, Sophia. She's talking shit about you, girl. No. Call me. I'll give you the tea.
Then you can reach out to us at Gmail. OneDryKiss@gmail.com. Not just Gmail, because there's more to us than just Gmail. Or on the social medias, Insta or Facebook, all at OneDryKiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you could find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. I think we're at 95 on Apple iTunes. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great if we can get to 100 before 2025.
That would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
Christmas gift for Corinne and Tam.
Right in our stocking.
Give us hope for the future. You know, Tam's been having a real hard time, and this would really boost her morale.
That's guilting you into it. If you didn't realize that was guilt, 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 guilt. But in the meantime, we'd like to thank you for stopping by, and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah! See you next time.
See you next time.
L.
Yes.
Tamara is fired. She's fired. She's so fired.
I'm not firing you. I like having you around.